The following podcast is from Tabernacle Baptist Church in Cartersville, Georgia. Thanks for listening.
If you have a copy of God's Word with you, I want to invite you to find your place in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and this morning we're going to look briefly at verse number 4. We'll also look at other passages of Scripture, but this morning we'll start with Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 4. I'm concluding my series of messages on the subject of parent like God. In this sermon series, we've talked about how parenting can be difficult, but in Scripture, we see a metaphor that gives us guidance concerning parenting. Jesus taught us to regard God, our Lord, as our Heavenly Father. In fact, when he taught us to pray, he taught us to pray, "Our Father in heaven." So God is God, but God is our Father. He relates to us as a loving father would relate to his children. Now, packed within that metaphor is truth that helps us discern how to parent. If you want to know how to parent, just look at how the Lord relates to you. And we've talked through this sermon series about how God loves his people. God provides an example of character for his people. God trains and instructs his people. This morning, we're going to look at how God corrects his people. And this provides us with information we need for parenting. So I'm speaking on the subject of correction, the bitter pill of parenting. Correction, the bitter pill of parenting. Now, that phrase, that euphemism, bitter pill, originated in the English language during the 17th century. Hundreds of years ago, if you took a medicinal treatment, that treatment often would have been very bitter to the taste. And so this phrase, bitter pill, was used to speak of something that was bitter yet necessary. Just as a medicinal treatment many times was bitter to the taste yet necessary for health, there can be things in life that can be bitter while being necessary. Now, I brought one of my multivitamins that I take each morning with me this morning. Recently, I put this vitamin in my mouth, and it has a gel cap containing all of the vitamins and nutrients. But as I was trying to swallow this thing, I accidentally broke it open with my tongue. And all of the ingredients were in my mouth. That's not the desirable way to take one of these multivitamins. You want it to go down in your belly and have all them good old gastric juices break it up, right? So you don't have to taste that stuff. So it was bitter to the taste when I did that, but it brought some benefit. Now we can think of correction in parenting in this way. It's something that's bitter, in a sense, yet it is necessary to healthy, godly parenting. Many parents find it difficult to lovingly correct their children, to rebuke and reprove their children. However, such correction is necessary to raise healthy, holy children. Scripture instructs us really plainly in this matter. Hebrews 12:7 asks the question, "What son is there that a father does not discipline?" And the resounding answer to that rhetorical question is none. It should be common sense, fact of life, logical necessity. Parents correct their children. So, as sure as the earth orbits around the sun, parents, by God's divine design, are given as instruments to provide rebukes and discipline for their children. This is part and parcel of the parent-child relationship. God intends for mom and dad to lovingly offer training and correction as long as the children are in the home and underneath their authority. I recently spoke with an older man who's finished raising his children, and we talked about parenting a little bit and about my series here on Parent Like God. And he said, I believe correction is where most parents fail nowadays. Indeed, we live in this world intoxicated by a spirit of permissiveness. Seems nowadays in American society, in American culture, there is no law. There are no moral absolute. Even in the church, many Christian parents have settled for what I call a devotional ethos with their children. Their Christianity is marked by a devotional ethos. Some nice little devotional thoughts about God with a few ethical imperatives, but there is no training wherein Christianity is total truth for all of life, and there's avoidance of this hard thing called correction, discipline. It seems many children nowadays in American society, even in the church, are raised like children in the book of Judges, Judges 21:25, allowed to do whatever seems right in their own eyes. Again, even many Christian parents are reluctant to reprove and rebuke their children. What's the reason for this? Well, there have been abuses of correction in American society and even in the church. There was an age in American Christianity where perhaps parents were too harsh, so a lot of what we see nowadays is an overreaction to maybe unhealthy approaches of yesteryear. But on top of this, it seems like love nowadays is used as a pretext for a discipline-less approach to parenting. All in the name of loving their children, some parents are afraid to correct their children. I can remember an early parenting experience when one of our children was probably at the age of 3, and we were at the mall and we were on the playground, and this child, when it came time to leave, was upset that we had peeled him away from the playground. And as we were leaving the mall, he got upset and he decided he didn't want to be a part of our family anymore. And he took off running away from us and went through the front doors of the mall. And as he was about to run out into the street, I screamed his name and said, "Stop!" And I gave a really strong correction. Now, people who saw all this understood that kid was about to run into the street. His dad had every right to correct him. Now, why is it in other domains of life, parents are slow to correct, slow to discipline? Here, the reason for correction and discipline, this is not an unloving matter. When your children are running towards peril, whether it is moral, spiritual, practical, or physical, it is not unloving to correct. In fact, the opposite is true. It is unloving not to correct your children when they are running to peril. Seems love can sometimes be used as a pretext nowadays for an unhealthy spirit of liberty in the home. Dan Peters has said, if we're not careful, a father's passionate love for his child can degenerate into a spineless indulgence of his children's faults. Now, when we look to our Lord, we learn that the Lord doesn't parent in an indulgent way. God is faithful to correct us. God trains his children. I heard an older preacher explain salvation like this one time. He said, when I got saved, I learned I couldn't sin and get away with it. And there are some people who think when you become a Christian, you never sin again. It's not true. You receive spirit power to overcome sin, but we all stumble in many ways, James 3:1. And even after we become believers, we can commit sin from time to time. Here's what's different for a believer. Once you are saved, you have the Spirit of God living within you, and that Spirit serves as an inner governor, an inner guide. And when you do sin, that Spirit corrects you, disciplines you, reproves you, and rebukes you. Nick Adams, one of our deacons recently, in a conversation with me, he spoke of the way in which in his younger years, the Lord had to take him to the proverbial woodshed about some matters. How many of you could give a witness this morning, since you've been saved, the Lord's had to correct you and discipline you? Maybe it was through his Spirit within, just giving a prompting. Maybe it's been through a season or a struggle you've gone through, but you know as sure as you're in this room this morning that the Lord has corrected you through your Christian experience and through your walk with the Lord. Praise be to God. He's faithful to not just leave us as we are. He gradually, progressively works in our lives, correcting us and training us and shaping us and making us into all that he wants us to be. Now think about your experience of walking with the Lord and the way the Lord disciplines you. And know this, when it comes to parenting, the Lord desires for parents to relate to their children in a similar way. The way in which the Lord disciplines us provides insight concerning how we might discipline our children. And make no mistake, the Word of God, the Bible, is really clear on this matter. It upholds the Lord's pattern of correcting his children as a pattern for how we are to correct our children. Hebrews 12:8-9 says this, "If you are without discipline, which all receive, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had human fathers discipline us and we respected them. Shouldn't we submit even more to the Father of spirits and live?" C.S. Lewis once said, the most miserable person on the face of the earth is not an unbeliever in his sin. It is a believer in his sin. And C.S. Lewis's rationale was this. When you're an unbeliever, you don't have the Spirit of God within you convicting of you of your sin. You engage and indulge in sin. And in one way, you have very little conscience about it because you don't have the Holy Spirit convicting you. However, when you become a believer, that Spirit is always, 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 as James said, yearning jealously within you, James chapter 4. And the Spirit does this for the purpose of discipline. And the author of Hebrews here argues, if you don't have that conviction of sin in your soul, you may not be a legitimate son of God. Discipline and correction from the Lord is evidence that you really are saved. And sometimes we can wrestle with a particular sin in our lives and we think because we're wrestling with this sin, oh, it must mean I am not saved. Friend, I would propose the very fact that you're wrestling is evidence that you are saved. The Spirit of God within you is convicting you and making you aware of your need for what the Bible calls sanctification. Now we know all these things are true in our spiritual experience with the Lord, but notice the point of Hebrews 12:9. These things can be applied to parenting. We could say with the author of Hebrews in Hebrews 12:8, the child who never receives any discipline or correction could be regarded as a sort of illegitimate child. Why? Because according to God's created order, parents are given to provide correction and discipline for their children. Now, discipline and correction is indeed a tough subject. Where do we go for truth? Well, if parents want to know how to discipline their children, they only need to reflect upon how the Lord disciplines them. And let's consider from Scripture three ideas related to parental discipline, all drawn from Scripture, all drawn from this Heavenly Father metaphor. First of all, let's consider what we could call a problem in correction. And we see this in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 4. We've already looked at this passage of Scripture in this sermon series. Paul, writing by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, gave some rather pointed instruction for parents in first century Ephesus. And in verse number 4 of chapter 6, he said, "Fathers, don't stir up anger in your children, but bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." Notice a certain problem here, a trap or a pitfall that many parents can fall into when it comes to discipline and correction. And it's this idea of stirring up anger in their children. Now, this is why many Christian parents in the 21st century are nervous about discipline and correction, because they've perhaps seen, witnessed, heard of unhealthy forms of discipline and correction that stirred up anger in the hearts of children. So it's right to be on guard. We don't want to have unhealthy forms, but we can't throw the proverbial baby out with the bathwater. Notice the nature of Paul's warning here. Don't stir up anger in your children. In the original language of the New Testament, Koine Greek, the word translated "don't stir up anger" was a compound word that was made up of two words that literally meant to bring to a point, to bring to a point. So I brought with me a good old number two pencil this morning. We were talking this past week about how kids nowadays take tests on computers in school. We didn't do that when I was growing up. We had Scantrons, and you had to have a number two pencil. If you didn't have a number two pencil, you were disqualified from participation. First thing you did was you messed up. You didn't follow the rules to bring a number two pencil. And then the teacher had a sharpener, right, in the classroom where you could sharpen your pencil. You could bring your pencil to a point. This word translated "stir up anger" was used in the first century world to speak of bringing a writing instrument, maybe a piece of flint or a sword, a knife, to a point. It was used figuratively of provoking or irritating a person. Now, Paul gave this warning because in a first century Roman-dominated world, fathers were known for unholy and unhealthy approaches to discipline and correction. In the first century world, most dads used either physical abuse or emotional intimidation and manipulation to train their kids. For the Romans, it was actually permissible for a dad to sell his children into slavery. So in a world in which children were often mistreated, Paul, writing with a gospel frame of mind, encouraged fathers to parent like God. Yes, warn your children, reprove your children, rebuke your children, correct your children, and discipline your children. But be on guard that you don't use unhealthy and unholy techniques. Parent like God. If moms and dads in Ephesus hit, yelled at, and intimidated their children through unhealthy tactics, Paul knew children would undoubtedly be stirred up to anger. And so there's application for us. In all generations, parents and their correction and discipline should be careful to correct and to discipline in a spirit of holy caution. When parents are overly strict or overly lenient, when parents are inconsistent in their discipline or detached from training their children, when parents are distracted in life pursuing many priorities, when parents are hypocritical, when parents are comparative of children or preferential in regard to children, when parents are insensitive or abusive, they are likely to stir up anger in the hearts of their children. There should be much prayer before disciplining and correcting a child. There should be gospel considerations when correcting or disciplining a child. There should be a goal of love and holiness when correcting and disciplining a child. Paul warned of unhealthy approaches to discipline, and one has said that the language here hints at avoiding attitudes, words, and actions that could drive a child to exasperation, resentment. When a parent is overbearing and when a parent has unrealistic expectations, a child may be driven to give up. When parents are excessively severe in their discipline, when they're unreasonable, when they have harsh demands, when they abuse their authority, when they engage in arbitrariness, unfairness, constant nagging and condemnation, when they subject their children to humiliation and all forms of gross insensitivity to a child's needs, they may indeed stir up anger, so parents should be on guard. I can remember an occasion in which I had shared with a group of men a time in which I had disciplined and corrected one of my children, and this was in a small group. And afterwards, Charles, an older man, said, Pastor, be careful with that. Lighten up just a little bit. And I believe he had some wisdom there. There's a need for great sensitivity and discipline and correction. Number two, let's talk about a path for correction. In our talks about parental correction, it is necessary for us to deal with what we could call nuts and bolts matters. We need to practically know how to do some things. Parental guidance is necessary for our children, but to give parental guidance, we need practical guidance as parents to know what to do. How do you discipline? How do you correct? Step by step, what can one do? Well, fortunately, we have this Heavenly Father metaphor, and if we want to know how to discipline our children and correct them, we only need to look at how God disciplines and corrects us. So let's consider the gospel and how the Lord corrects us. And indeed, Scripture teaches that this is the way we correct. The Bible says in Proverbs 3:12, "For the Lord disciplines the one he loves, just as a father disciplines the son in whom he delights." So the way the Lord disciplines us gives us parameters and gives us principles for how we are to discipline our children. And let's consider from Scripture and the gospel five tips for parental discipline. These are all drawn from how the Lord relates to us. Letter A, think about communication. Before you can discipline your children, before you can hold them accountable and correct them in some matter, you need to make sure as a parent that you are living up to your God-given role to regularly communicate to and train your children in the ways of the Lord. You need to make sure that you regularly speak about the ways of God and what's expected morally and practically around the house. How can you hold somebody accountable for something you didn't communicate? Think about the way the Lord relates to you. He doesn't leave you to mystery and say, hey, figure it out on your own. The Lord doesn't just allow you to go throughout life without any knowledge and then he zaps you when he doesn't like something you do. No, he's giving you his word as a lamp unto your feet, a light unto your path. He only disciplines in you and corrects you when you step outside the bounds of his boundaries for life. Think about the Garden of Eden. Yes, in Genesis chapter 3, the Lord expelled. He gave a consequence, did he not? Adam and Eve, he expelled them from the Garden of Eden. But he only did that after he had clearly communicated in Genesis 2:17, you're not allowed to eat of the fruit of that in particular tree. And there's a standard for us in parenting. Consistent communication is the starting place for effective discipline. It's your job to teach your children about right and wrong. Apply the Lord's way of parenting to your parenting. It is unreasonable to expect your kids to follow rules and guidelines that aren't clearly established and communicated. Communication, then letter B, coupled with this, I would say, clarity. The Lord in his word is abundantly clear about who he is, who we are, what's wrong with the world, how we can be made right with him. He's abundantly clear. There is repetition, things that are said over and over and over again. Why do we have such a large volume of scripture? Well, the Lord, according to Jeremiah, sent prophets over and over again, time and time again. And he sent his son, and he sent apostles. As a loving God, he wanted us to be abundantly clear concerning his truth. The Lord told the Israelites when they were in the wilderness wanderings in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 5 and 6, keep in mind that the Lord your God has been disciplining you just as a man disciplines his son. So keep the commands of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and fearing him. Notice that the Lord's discipline is closely related to his consistent commands. So I would say this to parents. We are to be clear in our expectations with our children. Sometimes a child may break a rule or cross a boundary that wasn't clearly communicated. In such times, a parent might have to say, it's okay, you didn't know, but now you do know. Don't do that again. Clear expectations. Letter C, I think of this idea of consistency. When you study the Old Testament, you find that the Lord again and again and again was clear with his people, but he was also consistent. He regularly reminded them of consequences for their actions. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 64, he gave a pronouncement. If you rebel against me, I'll send a foreign nation to carry you away captive. And the Lord consistently communicated the covenant consequence for disobedience to the law for the Israelites was captivity. And so the Lord consistently over and over again communicated this to his people. But he wasn't just consistent or clear in his communication. He was consistent in the way he gave consequences. Study the Old Testament and you'll see that he sent numerous foreign kings, kings from Egypt, kings from Assyria, kings from Babylon, to chastise and correct and discipline his people. Each time the people violated a standard, the Lord was consistent to give consequences. Apply this to parenting. You've got to be consistent in your consequences. It can't be, well, one day that's an offense and the next day we really don't care. It can't be one day that's a huge crime and the next day sister or brother gets away with it. Kids need to see consistency from their parents. Sometimes when it's time to discipline or correct, it may feel uncomfortable. It may not seem like the opportune time. You may not be in the mood to do it or whatever, but you've got to be consistent. Parents need consistency in their communication of standards, rules, and expectation. And then they've got to be consistent in their enforcement of such things. And by the way, when you're inconsistent, they'll let you know, amen? That's not fair. Consistency. Letter D, consequences. When the first man and woman sinned and violated the Lord's standard, there was a clear consequence. Oh, how powerful consequences are. When the Israelites and the people of Judah rebelled, even while they were in the promised land, the Lord gave a clear consequence. He had communicated it clearly and consistently. They went as slaves to far-off pagan lands. So if you want to know how consequences work, think about the Lord. He consistently communicated there will be a consequence. And then when the time for consequences came, he clearly, concisely meted out those consequences. In a spirit of grace and love, but thundering with power, he gave the consequences. So consequences can take many shapes and sizes. You know, there's timeouts, restrictions, chores, removals of certain privileges, and more. The point here is to give a consequence that is appropriate for the offense. Not exaggerated, but not too little. It needs to be an appropriate consequences that instills a level of pain, if you will, in order to train the child concerning right and wrong. And just think about how the Lord metes out consequences, because we've got a lot of dysfunction nowadays when it comes to consequences. There's some that fly off the handle. Know this, the Lord never flies off the handle when he rebukes us or reproves us. In fact, when the Bible teaches in the book of Revelation, when the Lord returns to earth and he puts away all sin and all sinners forever, he'll have almost this calm, concise approach to judgment. Revelation 19:5 teaches he'll judge by the sword of his mouth. What does that mean? As surely as he spoke the world into existence, the Lord will return and he'll just merely speak, and all sinners will be sent to hell and sin will be removed from the earth forever. He won't fly off the handle in an uncontrolled, uncollected wrath, pour out frustration. No, he will speak in great power and authority and judge sin. So think about this as a parent. Yes, there's going to be times where a natural sense of frustration shows, but aim to be calm and collected and to, in a real cool matter in a sense, give consequences and explain the rationale. So don't fly off the handle, but then I would say, secondly, this, be the authority. Be in control. You know, you've got this approach nowadays of, hey, I'm going to count to 10 and you better get your act together. Or when I get to 10, if you're still doing it, you're going to find out what happens. Hey, be better than that. Be the authority. Be the standard. God doesn't count to 10 and say, now get your act together. No, he clearly communicates and he gives us clear consequences when we step outside of his boundaries. And all of that trains us. The pain of discipline and correction trains us. J.C. Ryle, speaking of his upbringing, talked about the way in which he was disciplined growing up in the 19th century. And he said, I think it's good that children are disciplined and corrected. He said, I think that it often does good to young boys who have been petted and spoiled and indulged at home and taught to think that their own will is law. It obliges them to submit to the will of others, and it teaches, consequences do, that great lesson which we all have to learn in life, that we cannot always have our own way. This is the point of consequences. Why do we have this phenomenon of a failure to launch amongst young adults nowadays in America? Could it be that many have a hard time leaving the nest because the nest is way too easy? The nest is way too comfortable. And when young adults do try to leave the home, they find out that a boss might talk to them kind of tough. They find out it's hard to get out in the world and to work on their own and to deal with the problems, pains, and people of life in a fallen world. Discipline and correction prepares kids for real life. And maybe the reason we have a failure to launch in American society is that we have a failure to correct and discipline. Letter E, the Heavenly Father metaphor teaches us, lastly, our discipline should involve compassion. Compassion. When I was newly married, an older man counseled me on how to correct children and to discipline children. And I remember him telling me, Patrick, now as you sit them down and you talk to them, provide a lesson, tell them the why, maybe even open scripture and show them where their behavior has been contrary to God's word, then in a real calm way, give the straightforward consequences and don't bend on that. But before you close the time, make sure you do this. Make sure you affirm your love for your child and make sure you pray with them. Make sure you always have a spirit of compassion. Does not the Lord relate to us that way? Why does he discipline me and correct me when I have indwelling sin in my life? Because he loves me and he wants me to be more and more of what he wants me to be. And he wants me to experience his life. So love is a critical ingredient here in discipline. Be sure to tell your kids you love them. Make sure you tell them that the Lord loves them as well. Don't allow them to be overwhelmed with feelings of worthlessness or failure. Be firm about the offense. Be clear about the consequences. But tell them you love them and affirm the positive things related to their nature. O.S. Hawkins has said, our children need our love the most when they deserve it the least. We see the path of correction involves many things. Let's close with this and talk about the purpose of correction. Some mom and dads fail in discipline. They engage in unhealthy forms of discipline because they forget the end goal of parental correction and training. They get their eyes off of what the Lord wants to use such discipline for. Plain and simple, the Lord wants you to correct and discipline your children so that they'll become more Christ-like. When you lose sight of that goal, however, you're likely to engage in unhealthy tactics in how you discipline. The reason much of our correction breaks down sometimes is because we become unchristlike in the process of correcting and disciplining. And it's impossible to lead your children towards Christlikeness when you're not Christlike in the process. So keep your eye on the goal. Seek purity of heart in these matters. Pray regularly and say, Lord, give me zeal for bringing my children up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Oh God, give me a burden that they would grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. You see, some parents discipline their children for all of the wrong reasons. Some discipline out of annoyance and frustration. Y'all are being too loud, just hush it. Now, there's times you're going to say that, right? But be careful that you're not disciplining out of frustration. Some discipline because they have an ideal of what they want their kids to be, and it seems like their entire MO in parenting is raising up little idols who fulfill the parent's dream. And so correction and discipline is aimed at making a kid into what the parent wants the kid to be. Oh, hear me this morning. When we engage in such unhealthy techniques, our kids may not fully understand what's going on, but in their soul, they pick up on the fact that something's wrong. Our parent-like God concept can help us here. Scripture is clear that when the Lord disciplines us, he always has a real simple goal in mind. And that goal is that we'd become more of what he wants us to be. When the Lord corrected the people in Isaiah's day, in Isaiah 1:25, the prophet came and he announced captivity. And the Lord said this, "I will turn my hand against you and I will burn away your dross completely. I will remove all of your impurities." He used language used of a silversmith. The silversmith removes the dross from the silver, so the Lord disciplines us, his children, in our Christian walk, so that he might remove all impurities from our lives. And as you aim to parent like God, know that this is the end goal. You want to help your children mature in Christ. You want to get the strongholds out of their character. You want to remove the chinks from their armor. You want to help them to become aware of their weaknesses and their proclivity to certain sins. And you want to prepare them for life, that they might be more spiritually, emotionally, and practically mature adults when they go out into the workforce and into life. The psalmist was aware of these realities. That's why he said in Psalm 94:12, "Lord, how happy is anyone you discipline and teach from your law." And this was Paul's approach to ministry. Why did he preach? Why did he teach? Why did he send all these letters correcting churches at times? He said in Colossians 1:28, "We proclaim Jesus, we proclaim him, warning and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ." So know this, the purpose of parental correction is that children might become what the Lord wants them to be. Remember that when you sit them down for the time of correction and discipline. Tell them. Say those words to them. "Hey, we're talking to you about this because we have a responsibility to bring you up in the Lord." Know this, discipline of children is a form of discipleship. If the goal is simply to remove shouting annoyances and unruly behavior from the lives of your children, you may fail, you may give in to frustration. However, when your heart's more pure and you have this end goal to raise your child into a full-fledged Christ follower, you will be compelled by a higher sense of purpose in parenting. And you'll receive greater motivation in your soul to sit your children down and correct them. What's more, the Lord will see your ways and he'll send Holy Spirit boldness and help. Keep your eyes on the goal.
For more information, visit us online at tabernaclebaptist.org. Thanks for listening.